The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Our feature called Mind Matters right here as we talk about emotional intelligence. I would like to welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM a young lady where we are just getting her bio here to give you information on the young lady who's bringing us the information. She is a clinical psychologist with over a decade of experience supporting individuals and families across the Caribbean. She specializes in trauma-informed care with focus on empowering her clients and building psychological resilience. Denise is also the founder of a private practice dedicated to holistic mental health support, and she's passionate about helping others build emotional intelligence as a foundation for healthier relationships and personal growth. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Miss Denise Jaitan Johnson, or is it Mrs.?
Mrs. Denise Jaitan Johnson, thank you so much.
Good morning and welcome to you. So let's start off with defining emotional intelligence. What exactly is emotional intelligence and why is it so important in today's world?
Yeah, so emotional intelligence is really just that ability to recognize and understand and manage our own at the same time, also being able to recognize and respond to the emotions in others. So it's so important because our world runs on human connection and emotional responsiveness. And in a lot of ways, it's about being not only aware of how you feel, why you feel it, and being able to label your feelings, but it's also being able to understand how it affects the people around us. Yeah. And it helps us to navigate conflict, stay grounded in difficult conversations, and really build healthier connections. So it's so much more than just understanding ourselves, but it's also understanding how we impact others and how we work together to get things done.
And we often hear about bouncing back from trauma and tough situations. How does emotional intelligence actually help someone become more resilient in the face of stress, loss, or change?
Yeah, so emotional intelligence really gives us the space of being able to pause and reflect internally, understand how we feel, instead of just like jumping the gun and reacting all over the place, you know? We understand that life is chaotic sometimes. It throws curveballs. It's unpredictable. But it's really when we're talking about emotional intelligence and resiliency, it's that check-in with ourselves so we can make more thoughtful decisions under pressure. Yeah, so people with high emotional intelligence may be better able to manage that anxiety or worry or disappointment or grief because they don't suppress the emotion. They don't put it one side and unconsciously react, but they sit with the emotions, they process them, and processing helps build that mental flexibility and it builds coping skills. Yeah. And that's essentially all resilience is. Resilience is understanding how I'm feeling, being flexible to meet the needs of what this feeling is trying to tell me, and learning how to cope with it. So it doesn't mean that life gets easier, but it means that you're able to kind of bounce back stronger.
And what are common signs or some common signs that someone may be struggling with low emotional intelligence, and how might that impact their mental health or relationships?
Mm-hmm. So somebody with lower emotional intelligence, now it has a whole range. I don't want to feel like if it's just globally talking about it, but people who are with lower emotional intelligence may often feel misunderstood, maybe a little quicker to anger, and maybe overwhelmed by their feelings. Yeah, so one of the things that I always look at, you know, us trainees, we're on the road, we always drive in, we always encounter in somebody who's given us a bad drive, right? When we're thinking about a lack of emotional awareness, that's those people who, you know, jump out their car and be cussing you out when it's like all you did was pause a little bit too long when the light turned green, you know? It's like, does the emotion that they're exhibiting match the reality of what's going on, or if it, or is it something of a emotional overreaction? Yeah. It's like thinking about the big reactions to the relatively minor setbacks that you might have, right? Or that imbalance in emotional reactivity to the situation. So persons who are struggling with this might notice a lot more difficulty in managing and maintaining their relationships. They might be a little bit more snappy with their partners or their peers at work. They may shut down and stonewall and stuff during conflict, or they may not be able to express what they really mean and what their needs really are to others. They might not be able to clearly express it in a way that others are able to respond and help. And over time, this dysregulation could lead to chronic stress, anxiety, depression, you know, some of these bigger mental health struggles, because the emotions get bottled up and come out in unexpected ways. And that happens when we don't know how to learn and name and manage what we're feeling. It builds up and it explodes. And it really does take a toll on your mental health and the mental health of those around you as well.
You mentioned a term within your answer just now called stonewalling. What is that?
So that is when you retreat from the conversation or the interaction that you might be having, right? You refuse to engage any longer. You don't offer any more communication, whether or not it's to meet your own needs or respond to the needs of others. It's literally you're becoming a blank stone wall that does not emotionally engage or does not conversationally engage with the situation. And it's almost like you're sweeping it under the rug and pretending that it doesn't exist. But what we know as mental health professionals, and even as people living our lives out there, is when we don't acknowledge and we sweep it under the rug, we know it doesn't necessarily get rid of the problem, but it just defers the problem to a little bit later. And oftentimes when we defer these problems to a little bit later, they pile up and compound upon each other, and then it comes out in these explosive ways. Yeah.
For parents or educators listening, how can we start teaching emotional intelligence to children in everyday moments?
Yeah, so honestly, I think building emotional intelligence and regulation in our kids is one of the most empowering tools that you can give your children. Yes, we think education and all of these other things are, not that I'm minimizing, but this emotional regulation, I think, is paramount to our younger kids' emotional wellness and then the humans that they're going to become later on in life, right? So one of the first steps that I always say is slowing it down before you're reacting as a parent. And we know we have those moments where you see a little one's doing something and you're very quick to react, right? And sometimes those quick reactions may not be your shining moments. So slow down before you react, yeah? Pause and ask yourself, what am I really feeling right now? And what do I want to teach this little one out of this feeling? Yeah. So the first thing is pause. The next thing is learning how to label your feelings. One of the big things I see in my private practice is that us as adults even often don't even know the words to be able to label how we feel. We are stuck in this, I call it these four feeling definitions. Is either you're happy, sad, angry, or hungry. You know, we have these very limited views of emotions, and emotions are so multifaceted when we think about, well, what is beyond angry? Yes, I'm angry right now, but is it disappointment? Is it resentment? Is it hurt? Is it vulnerable? And really learning how to expand the vocabulary of what we're feeling. So I always say pause, label what you're feeling, and ask your little one to label what they may be feeling as well. With our older kids, they might be able to come up with words themselves, or maybe you pull out, I always have a feelings wheel in my office. It's literally a wheel of different feelings. But you learn how to be able to label the feeling, right? For the younger kids, you give them maybe some options. You ask them, are you, you know, just give them like multiple choice, 3-4 options. Very often I have a little one myself. I have a 7-year-old. I'd give him his options and he'd be like, no, it's none of those. I'm sad. I feel left out. Or give them the opportunity to label how they feel before we correct for what's going on. Because sometimes we just look at the behavior that we don't want, but we don't really look at the emotion behind the behavior. And when we understand that emotion behind the behavior, we don't jump to judgment, we don't jump to punishment, but we're able to understand how we can fix and correct for the behavior by managing the core of what's going on. Yeah? So even all of that is a form of discipline in helping them to understand their behaviors, asking them, what do you need to be able to calm down from this? And giving them that space as well, because discipline is also teaching them. Discipline is this act of guiding your little one to not only be these emotionally reactive and responsive little ones, but helping them to understand that they themselves have some level of control in being able to manage their own feelings. Yeah. And it's also an act of protection for your kids as well. Yeah, is if they have, they feel like if they have a voice, they feel like if they're able to communicate their needs and their feelings without being shut down, then it gives them that kind of autonomy and being able to, not that we're teaching our kids how to be rude or entitled or anything, but giving them that guide that their voice holds power and they know how to manage themselves in tough situations.
Now, on a side note, I realized that you brought up you said it was the 5 emotions that we can name, and you said hungry. Mm-hmm. Is it really a thing that if you're hungry, then you're also emotional? How does that work?
Now, the way that our emotions work, right? So thinking about it as something to be managed and regulated and things like that. I always think that if you don't have the resources to manage the emotion, then you're going to be running on empty. So if you're hungry, if you're sleepy, if you're uncomfortable, you're not going to have that extra energy to be able to go and be emotionally intelligent, you know?
Because
if you ever tried...
No, the reason why I say that is there's been so many skits and so many different portrayals of women especially being hungry. Are you emotional or are you just hungry? Do you need something to eat? You know, so I'm wondering. I didn't know. I guess it was really a thing. Oh, well.
Well, I would put it together, not that is it the emotion or hungry? Is it that you don't have the resources to manage the emotion? Do you need a snack to give yourself some energy so that you can manage the emotion, right? Because I say this, like, I know we're having this casual conversation about managing and regulating an emotional intelligence, but it's hard work.
It is.
Right? Is if you are sleepy or if you're otherwise depleted, you're not going to have that extra energy to pause and reflect, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't have that extra energy to regulate. So it's important to be able to take care of your body's physical needs as well, because we know that if your body is uncomfortable, your emotional state is going to be uncomfortable as well, you know? We fail to... I think one of the big things is being able to recognize that our bodies and our minds and our emotions are also interconnected and interwoven. That, yes, if you're hungry, you are going to be a little bit less emotionally resilient.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be agitated a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Agitated. If you're sleepy, if you're hungry, if you stub your toe, if you're physically uncomfortable, if you're wearing a shirt that you know isn't the comfy shirt for the day, you might be a little bit more irritable, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it as it pertains to children as well. You have to be aware of those things to create an environment where they are comfortable so that the emotions can be, as you said, identified.
Exactly. We can't expect, and we're talking about kids, but even adults
as well. Yeah.
We're overwhelmed or our capacity to cope is just tipped over in the wrong direction. We can't be expected to put words to how we're feeling. We need to be able to downregulate a little bit. We need to be able to catch your breath. You know, sometimes you're having those cries and the breath not even coming in proper. As we can't expect people to label emotions when they're still trying to catch their breath, mm-hmm. right? So give space for the emotion to calm down. And this is, I'm talking crying, anger, resentment, grief. Take time for the emotion to be able to be processed a little bit. When I say process, cry it out a little bit, stomp it out a little bit, and then we're going to talk about it. Yeah.
And that segues into the next question I have. If someone is feeling overwhelmed or emotionally reactive right now, what are a few simple steps that they can take to start strengthening their emotional intelligence today?
Yeah. So first step is that pause. I know I'm talking about this pause and everything, but you pause and you ask yourself, what am I really feeling? If we're in this highly emotionally activated, welcome the emotion. Is a lot of times people label emotion as good, bad, indifferent, but really allow yourself to recognize that this emotion isn't a bad thing. I shouldn't be trying to suppress it or stop it. This emotion is really just a road sign and telling me how to where I'm supposed to be going right now. Your emotions are there to guide you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So welcome the emotion. Yeah. Don't be like, oh gosh, I'm crying again. Or, oh gosh, why are you doing this? Or, you know, don't come at yourself with judgment. Just say, oh, okay, this is happening. It's fine. Let me give myself a moment to have the feeling. Because when you approach the feeling with judgment, it sets the tone that the feeling is wrong. But the feeling isn't wrong. Even if it's an explosive feeling, the feeling is there for a reason. So give yourself time to feel the feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then you take your breath and then you name the feeling. Yeah. You say, okay, I let it out a little bit. What is it that's going on? What's the feeling? Why am I feeling this way? Without judging yourself, without thinking, well, why are you feeling so? You shouldn't be feeling so. It's just an email. You shouldn't be feeling so. It's just, you know, whatever the trigger might have been. But you pause and you listen to the feeling without judgment. Sometimes that's why journaling helps, is that journaling forces you to put words on paper to explain it, right? And it helps build that awareness muscle, if we want to put it that way. It's exercising that space to be able to welcome the feeling, name the feeling, understand why the feeling is here, and then act in a way that honors that feeling. Right? Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're feeling scared, you can't just brush the feeling of scared aside, even if you know is a probably nonsense reason that you're feeling this fear, right? If we're thinking about, you know, sometimes you see a notification pop up on your phone, or like me, I was a little bit delayed in logging in. It's like, we have to label it. It's like, yeah, I'm feeling a little rushed right now, but it's okay. We're not going to die. We're not going to, nobody's going to yell at us. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And we label it and we think, okay, what is this feeling trying to protect me from? And act in a space of comforting and protection for yourself. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. Now, some of the, self-regulation is one of the things that you spoke about as well. How for adults, and well, you did mention for kids as well, to make them feel safe, the environment and so on. What are some of the tips you can give for self-regulation?
For self-regulation, definitely your breath holds so much power. I know that we always talk about taking a breath and whatnot, but the truth is that if we use our breath wisely, we are able to calm our body down. So sometimes it's this idea of paying attention to, where am I physically feeling this in my body right now? So breaths help when you're feeling that tenseness in your chest and your heart rate going off, and you know, you're feeling like if your heart beating out your chest, take a minute to slow down your breath, because your breath slows down your heart rate, right? Sometimes you feel it in your shoulders. You feel it with that tension of the back of your neck. Sometimes we need to stretch it out, you know? So sometimes if you're not able to label the feeling in the moment, is what is my body doing right now, and what can I do to comfort that feeling in my body? So breathing helps when you need to slow down that heart rate, slow down that adrenaline. Stretching helps when you have that stiffness and that tension going on. And you know, sometimes if it is that you're crying, sometimes cold washing your face with cold water helps, because talking about that mind-body connection, understanding that they are connected and we can use it to be able to regulate, right? So I would always say paying attention to your body is probably one of the first step things that you can do when you're emotionally overwhelmed. Other things, when you're kind of regulating a little bit more, understanding that need for connection, that's part of emotional intelligence as well, as understanding that as humans, we're social people, right? Sometimes that emotional connection is what we need to be able to calm down. Sometimes just talking to a friend, talking to a loved one, or if you're really out of your depth in coping, talking to a professional is helpful, not only because of the counseling support that we give, but also because of that space of processing something with a safe other person. Yeah. So doing it yourself is a wonderful thing to be able to get into control. But if you realize that it's a little bit more difficult for me, if it's too much for me to handle on my own, bringing in your non-judgmental safe people as a form of support, or even seeking out mental health support as well, would be really, really a lovely step to do.
All right. I think that we've got a lot of information today, and I'd like to thank you so much, Mrs. Jaitan Johnson, for joining us today to give us those tips on emotional intelligence. Are there any other closing remarks you'd like to share with us?
Just the understanding that emotional intelligence is just as valid a form of any other intelligence that we have, and learning that it is a muscle that strengthens the more that we use it. Mm-hmm. So practice your emotional intelligence skills, seek mental health support if you need it, and understand the value and connection with others.
I appreciate you taking the time, and next week, same time.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.